Yeah, so far that was fun. That was nice, and so I think I would like to also contribute to this next conference. And so today I talked about the rat holes, rope island brain. It's not the cosmology, but I think it's it has some relation to the holography. And so this work is so this work is based on this paper and also some works in progress. And so those will appear soon. And so what I talk about is Randosundu. So I think most of people know, but to introduce the basic notation, I want to repeat the basic setup for the Randosundu model. So this is a framework model, and with extra vertex dimensions. So from here, it's difficult to see the screen. But so the what we consider is just gravity, the ordinary gravity theory in 5D, and but with a negative cosmology constant. And so the five dimensional bulk is negatively curved. And we put the brain, and so we are living on the brain. And and we impose a Z2 symmetry across the brain. And so this is a solution, one solution. This becomes the background. And the background is just the ADS, and Z is a coordinate. And so in this direction, the bulk is, you know, becomes smaller and smaller. Okay, and so the bulk cosmological constant is related to the bulk of the scale, of course, and it's negative, and the brain tension should be fine-tuned to have the study Minkowski brain. So brain tension is related to this bulk curvature. Yeah.
So what's finite? I did, like I've asked, what's finite? Volume. You say the volume is finite. Which volume is finite?
Did I say so?
Well, it's written up there. Volume.
Oh, okay. Now, if you integrate the volume, then the volume size is finite, but the extension is infinite. Square root z, the integral of square root z is finite because of this one factor.
This is some particular sign. This is a volume of a hypersurface.
But it's a truncated by the brain, and so it doesn't cover whole space time of the ADS. So the bigger region is cut. So,
but you have an infinity out there. So the whole space is five dimensional? Is this the five dimensional line?
Like this, and so here is the brain, and so we're looking at this side.
Oh yeah, okay, so it's just within those horizons.
And it's corresponding to this hooked surface.
Okay. And that four volume inside the hash region is fine.
Yeah. Okay. So
well, the brain is still infinitely extended, so there's still an infinite volume along the slides.
But what's finite is the lower dimensional genome.
Yes.
And as I said, so extension is infinite in this direction of extra dimension. But so people think that, you know, 4D general relativity is effectively recovered on the brain when we look at gravity on the brain. And I will not explain the detail how many evidences exist that 4D general relativity is recovered on the brain. But please believe me. But as an evidence, there is no solution of the analytic solution of the Schwarzschild-Wright black hole. The black hole solution is absent. Of course, no. In this setup, the black hole solution may exist, but it's not. It cannot be written in an analytic way. So there is such a possibility. But yes. But there is something like black hole, which is a black stream solution. Okay, and so before I show this metric, similar metric, but here this Z mu was just a Minkowski metric before. But if you replace, even if you replace this hidden mu with any solution of the four-dimensional Bachmann-Einstein equation, that becomes the solution of this five-dimensional setup. Okay. And I replace it with a Schwarzschild metric, and if you want, you can replace it with a car metric. But That is the solution, this setup. So metric, if you look at the metric induced on the brain, brain is set at z equal L. So where this becomes one. So I told you the one factor. So the one factor becomes one on the brain. And so the induced metric on the brain is just this one. So the exact issue are shape. So that's a practical solution. But I do not want to accept this as a solution on the brain because, okay, you look at this solution, this solution is singular. This is a wild curvature, it's right, W, C. So this is some invariant, composed of the wild curvature. And so the solution is self-similar. So if the cut, wherever you cut the solution looks similar, but the overall size scale like this. So the curvature near the horizon was becomes larger and larger as we increase the volume z. Before the size of the black hole becomes smaller and smaller. Okay. So the larger scale like this, and so if you go far from the brain, then this curvature becomes in this sense, the solution is singular. And moreover, we know there is instability this type of solution, that is a Gregory-Lagrangian type instability, which so the horizon becomes like this. And when the length of the string is longer than the width or the radius of the string. Okay, so that's the criterion. Okay. And the criterion is easily satisfied when we move away from the brain. Because of this one factor, this width becomes smaller and smaller. Okay? And also the extension is infinite. So it's inevitable.
Okay. What are the rules in this space-time? So you have these horizons, and you haven't told us what's outside. Is the rule that it's just be you're just going to put some boundary condition there?
Yeah. We just impose boundary condition here, and we don't know what happened there. But nothing happened actually. You have all been nothing happened. So this is a Cauchy singularity.
So does the boundary condition?
Yeah, but of course, if you consider this type of solution, then this boundary is singular.
But so does your boundary condition allow just like a particle to come in through that?
This side, but I don't allow on this side.
No particles?
No particles. Yeah. Now, of course, you can consider a different boundary state, but as a simple setup, I assume that there is nothing here.
You can consider that. Since it's true, if you did make it regular on those boundaries, you don't have to worry about what's outside it. So presumably there'd be some regular solution outside.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But normally you would at least let some stuff come in.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want. But okay, so let's consider that the creation of the brain universe here, okay?
Fine.
Before this point. And so, as I said, there is no known solution which corresponds to the black hole. And so I want to say that there is no black hole solution based on the ABS-CFT correspondence. So as I think this is quite similar to what the Roma on the first day explained. And so this is the function boundary metrics, the generating function. And so that can be calculated by integrating out the CFT with the source Q, right? Q is the boundary metric, so boundary metric is given, then if you integrate out this CFT, then you obtain some function z Q. Okay. And it is CFT tells that this z Q can be computed by using the bulk metric, bulk geometry, bulk function. The bulk function is the usual action Hilbert and the Riemann Hopping term, but in the end, you push this boundary to infinity. Z equals 0 is here. Z equals 0 is here. And then the volume becomes larger and larger. Okay? And so if you integrate this, this action becomes infinite reduced. So the to subtract is infinity, usually we introduce these quantities, S1, S2, S3. One is just the boundary volume, so something like a smooth constant on the four-dimensional point of view. And S2 is integral of the R. So that's an unsimple reduction on the plane. And S3 is something quadratic in R. Okay. And so we subtract this, and then we can compute this function by using the bulk theorem. And we define it as a WGFD this way. Okay. We just call it. So, okay. And then, I will not talk about this. So the Langer syndrome setup is given by the bulk gravity term with demorphophic term. And we put the brain tension term. And if you want, you can add some other in addition to that. Okay. So that's the Langer syndrome setup. And if you look at this expression, okay, so here, SGH, this is they are here, and this is nothing but S1. Okay, so S1 here. Okay, let's combine these. And then, for this set is WGFT minus S2 minus S3. Like this, this way. Okay. And S2 is nothing but the four-dimensional Einstein-Hilbert action. Okay. And let's assume that there is no matter term. And WGFT is the CFT, the generating function. And here is this S3, which behaves like the running when you introduce a cutoff scale. Okay. So let's combine these two pieces and call it some cutoff CFT contribution. So then we can say that this Langer-Sundberg action is equivalent to the four-dimensional Einstein gravity plus the CFT contribution, CFT correction. The CFT is some dark radiation, and so it does not interact with our matter field directly, so it just interacts with the gravity. Okay, but it changes.
Why do you put ADS CFT at the top of the slide and Langer-Sundberg at the bottom of the slide? Because, in ADS CFT, we do this renormalization in the bulk, the holographic renormalization. And then we enter into, this is acting as a generating functional for a CFT, which does have that amount of gravity. It seems logically disconnected from what you're doing underneath, where you want really to have dynamical gravity, on a four-dimensional surface. I don't see what the logical connection between these two things is.
Logical connection. So you don't see that why I'm allowed to move these pieces to the right-hand side?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead. I do not have any proof. I think this graph is a little bit old, and I can explain it a little bit better. So, what I want to do is just to integrate out this piece about the bulk geometry. But you see, so that if you compute this part using bulk geometry, then what we obtain is this piece using this relation. That's all. So this is just a machinery to compute the this bulk part of the contribution of the bulk. I just integrate out the bulk geometry. And then that can be replaced with this WGFT. But of course, I don't know how to compute this contribution exactly. Right? Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay, this presentation is not good. I understand. Anyway, so there's several evidences which is. There are several examples which uses this correspondence. So the Langer-Sundberg calculation gives some result which is reproduced by the four-dimensional Einstein-Hilbert action plus the CFT contribution. So one example is linear perturbation from background. Okay. And of course we can compute this by using the random-sundered setup. Okay. And we put some source, and we can compute the metric perturbation that is different from the Einstein case. Okay. And but so we can compute the same thing by considering the backing polarization of CFT. Of course, in that case, we have to use some approximation. Okay. And then it can recover the linear perturbation. And when we consider three number cosmology, okay. So the, in the random sensor setup, the Friedman equation is a little bit modified. The famous pi unit term, that's the square of the energy momentum tensor. Okay, and that pops up as a trace anomaly in the CFT language. And so there are several things that I will skip. Okay, so the conjecture was made. So the four-dimensional Einstein gravity with CFT will be equivalent to the classical five-dimensional dynamics in RS2 model in some limit. Okay. And so when we consider the five-dimensional graph of the ray, then that will be equivalent to the four-dimensional graph pole with the CFT correction. But here, the CFT the degrees of freedom of CFT is very large. Very large. So the effect of this correction with the CFT is significantly large. And this CFT will call the Hawking variation. Okay. So in a four dimensional picture, this black hole cannot be static due to this Hawking variation. And so the corresponding thing in 5D should be some classical operation for the five-dimensional graph hole. That's a conjecture, classical graph hole operation. If this conjecture is correct, then this means that five-dimensional random-sundered graph hole, local graph hole, cannot be studied. Static graph hole solution doesn't exist. Even if you try hard to construct a static solution, localized on the brain, you pay.
So why did this not work in the lower dimension? There are the classical solutions. So what failed about this conjecture in the lower dimension?
In lower dimension, the starting point, starting point is different. So the starting point is so in this case, the starting point is the four-dimensional graph hole, and so the Hawking variation occurs. Okay. And in three-dimensional, so in one-dimensional less, there is exact solution, but in three-dimensional case, the starting point is not black hole. Starting point is just a conical ellipse. So you don't have Hawking radiation. That's the usual explanation, but I do not anyway.
In what sense is the conjecture, in a sense, is it equivalent to, so if the setup has a dual interpretation, this must be true, or there is some way out?
I think this must be true. I think. But no, I'm not the expert, so there might be some way out. So, yeah. And so,
many things that are taken for granted, right? I mean, this by using ADS-CFT and the Randall syndrome. So, I mean, it is suggested.
And so the people.
I wouldn't put it as a theorem.
Usually, the people who compute is just, you know, some correlation function on the plot or some given background. And so, but in this case, background is strongly deformed. And so, maybe.
And there's no perturbative regime where you can trust all your approximations in the real design.
It's also, I wouldn't call this a DSFT. By allowing things to be dynamical, you know, have dynamical gravity in CFT, it's all kind of framework.
So I think the CFT is used like an intermediate step. Right?
Yeah, just you know, just a machinery to compute the power.
But it's used outside its regime of validity. I mean,
is
not,
it?
It's not allowed that you put in, you know, put the CFT.
Yeah, if it is not allowed, then it's useless.
And then use it.
It's not allowed, but yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is suggestive, so it's not.
But
it's hard to.
No, for to be safe, it's better to say that it is suggestive. It would be good to understand how.
But it would be difficult in going beyond the simple argument that was shown in the previous slide, is that there's no, let's say, way to have to make a well-defined perturbative treatment where you really understand your approximations. And that argument, which, okay, you didn't give a reference, and this was made in 2000, this argument by itself is again suggested that the one on the previous slide that from the bottom. We made this argument anyway.
This should be okay.
So isn't it true that the CFT with a cutoff can be obtained by integrating the power?
You said it, just the word CFT with a cutoff doesn't really make sense of the CFT. In the quantum field theory, either your quantum field theory is well defined at all total scales, you can remove the cutoff, or you view it as an effective theory. But in this case, you do neither of the two. So it's in a no man's land.
In a realistic string construction, if you have a throat with which smoothly connect with Kravyao, in this case there is some.
I would say it's suggested.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody believes it's roughly true that this cutoff thing is kind of like a CFT with gravity turned on, but.
Yes. If you want to really make it precise.
No, but we're not talking about gravity being turned on. I mean, I'm just asking whether, you know, if you have a piece of ADS, this is the same as a cutoff CFT.
On both sides, the notions are ill-defined.
But then what is this renormalization group flow in ADS?
This is completely well-defined. There's no cutoff. It's nothing to do. Again, with the picture, we have the brain.
Can you speak of a Boltzmann cutoff in that case? Of the CFT? I mean, I understand that the CFT is UV complete. I mean, that's a different story.
You can deform the CFT to say in a quantum field theory, which has
no. Okay, maybe we should have the discussion.
Okay, so then I will skip. So how to compensate this loss? So what I expect what will happen in the bulk is this, okay? And I expect that. This is just expectation. So when we have some collapse occur on the brain, then something like a black hole should be formed, right? And so in that case, you know, near the brain, the geometry should be similar to the black string solution, because the black string solution gives the exact Schwarzschild black hole as an induced metric on the brain, right? So, as I said, you know, if the long extension of the black string at some point, Gregory Lachman instability should occur. So it cannot be extended infinitely. It must be pinched off at some point. And there is work. And so depending on the size of the black hole, this length changes. But Gregory Lachman instability sets in when the size of the black hole is as long as the length of the string. And typical length of the string is given by the typical Clausius scale L. So this region is similar, almost common to all black hole solutions. So independent of the radius of the black hole. Okay. And so here, let's assume that Gregory Lachman instability at this cap region occurs as a dynamical timescale. What I mean is deformation occurs and some droplet is formed and droplet fall into the bulk. That's a picture. And this process will occur in a dynamical timescale. Okay, dynamical timescale is given by the bulk of the scale. The size of this block is L. And this bulk of the scale is also L. And so there is no other time scale. Okay? So the dynamical time scale is L. Okay. And
Can I ask?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, question, okay. So what's the status of the endpoint of the Gregory-Laflamme instability now? And there have been a lot of numerical simulations of it.
Oh, it's not clear. And
so you're sort of taking one of
the there might be some making singularity, but that singularity is infinitely far, so we will not see it. Yeah, that's the real thing. But it's not completely clear. So I say that this part is feasible, but actually it's impossible. It cannot be, you know, the event horizon, once it is formed, it cannot be feasible. So that's
how that wasn't like, I mean, Gary Horowitz and whoever caused some confusion by making that argument. I mean, it's true that some quantity is infinite,
uh-huh,
the time for it to pinch off, but seen from outside, it can happen in a finite time. So it's a question of what time.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't.
So how you slice the time. But
yeah. So that argument
doesn't. However you slice the time, some piece will remain. But I'm not quite sure.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Yeah. And it's much better.
I mean, I just don't think there's a theorem that some piece has.
Yeah. And so, in finite, I think time, the pinching off does not occur. That's a theorem. But it doesn't tell that from the outside. Yeah. If you look at this process, you know, pinching it may happen in the finite time. Yes. It doesn't prohibit. But anyway, it's not completely clear. So this time scale L, you know, can be interpreted as R. L is the Barthelmess scale, and R is, you know, the radius of the black hole. And why? Because so this happened in the ball, but there is a rock factor, and so the time passes faster. On the brain, and the time fast passes slower in the world. Okay, and so this time scale, so this time scale L, you know, is interpreted as the L times the ratio of the rock factor, and that is exactly R. Okay, this is, you know, practicing solution, and so the radius scales as in proportion to the rock factor. So this time scale L is, it can be interpreted as R.
I'm confused what you're talking about. Are you talking about a vacuum solution in five dimensions?
No, dynamical process of the evaporation.
The evaporation of what?
What evaporation of this object.
Yeah, is this object a vacuum solution? What equations is this?
Okay. So this is vacuum solution. Yeah.
What is cosmological constant?
Yeah, fine. But what about the brain there? I mean, the brain is
right here.
Yeah, so that's not part of vacuum.
So the vacuum with brain, yes.
And the brain?
So this is just a pure random setup and without any matter.
Okay, so the solutions you're solving are not vacuum Einstein. I mean, it's Einstein with cosmological constant with the brain.
Yes.
And the brain intersects the horizon of the black hole?
You can see from these pictures, yes, intersecting. So I'm talking about the localized black hole. So that intersects with the brain.
Right. Doesn't that violate some kind of no-hair theorem or something? I mean,
it's not astronomically flat. It's got the brain.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, does the brain really like to just run into the horizon and just...
Yeah, black holes can have this type of literal hair, where a string comes out.
Okay.
It's like that a string can decay into black hole pairs. And
well, that's true, but then those just evolve to become ordinary black holes with no string.
They get pulled by the string. But it can also happen to the string.
You can have strings.
But do you really solve Einstein equations coupled to the word volume theory of the brains? You have delta function sources on the right hand side? You just have a black hole?
You just solve the bulk Einstein equation with the boundary condition. A problem boundary.
Oh, I see. So the brain is really only a sense.
But this is just a situation, imagination. So I'm not solving.
Just use Israel junction conditions of the brain.
And confusing. So then, so then the area of the droplet is given by LQ, the order of magnitude. And so the area of the total black hole is given by R squared, so the area at the intersection multiplied by the length of this thin part, and that is L. So roughly speaking, the total area of this black object is L times R squared. Okay. So so you can compute the time scale this way. DADT, so the typical time scale is R, and the typical area which is corresponding to this droplet is L cubed. So DADT is given by this. And then the typical time scale will be estimated DADT divided by A. And then you get this number, okay, this estimate. And that at least with this Hawking evaporation calculation. I have not explained, but this is a standard one. If you apply this the standard Hawking radiation and plug in the number of degrees of freedom, which is, so I should have explained. Number of degrees of freedom is L squared divided by L prime squared. That's the number of degrees of freedom, basically. Okay. And so,
there were. The coefficient even agreed with the. Yeah,
no,
I mean, if L is.
No, it's a, so this is quite rough estimate, so I cannot tell what is the coefficient in front. So, yeah.
Right, but if L is very big and.
And so
in Planck units, then
of course,
I would guess this is better.
These are agreed, but the power agrees, and the coefficient is order one. Yes, but the.
But I mean, it's bigger. I mean, the Planck, because R is like m, and for the four-dimensional black hole, R is like m. So in the ordinary four-dimensional, it's like one. It's like Planck length over that. So this range is bigger by the square of the cosmological constant lengths to the Planck. So it is a lot. It is a lot bigger if your back, if your bulk has a cosmological, if the bulk length is much bigger than the Planck length.
Let us take here's point.
So what is the endpoint here?
Is no, it, so what Dan is pointing out is that you have decaying to a lot of massless species.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to have as many massless species as roughly the square of the ratio of L.
That confirms.
Which that seems surprising.
No, that confirms the duality. So I mean, the bigger is L, the bigger is the number of massless species. The lower field.
Okay.
So what do you imagine the endpoint is? I mean, presumably this thing becomes, there's some stable object, which is like a 5D black hole.
I'm not assuming a stable object. So this instability continuously goes on. And so the droplet is formed continuously with this time scale. And then endpoint is, endpoint will be a small black hole. And the small black hole is outside the region of this ADS CFT correspondence. I shouldn't say so, but and so the small black hole is outside. So the small black hole will be the endpoint. This evaporation process.
So you end up with a small black hole attached to the brain.
Yeah. If the size becomes as small as L, then it will not evaporate. So because we cannot form droplet anymore, it's impossible.
But in the dual theory, the end point is that the thing completely evaporates. So I think this duality must not be quite perfect.
The duality is not quite perfect in that sense. But the near end point, so this correspondence is a bit ambiguous. Because, so I wrote this formula, but I regretted it in the higher order terms, blah, 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 but that is suppressed by this ratio. And so when the curvature radius is small,
below the ADS curvature radius, you don't expect this to fall, right? Then, in the absence of a cutoff. You have just got a supergravity solution in 5D.
So it's this idea that there's.
You cannot push the duality at scales below the ADS radius. That was the
thing. 20 minutes. So this idea that there's L squared massless fields, is that at the same level that you were arguing about this other point that it just suggested and not proven?
Well, this was said by Maldus and without proof in ADS CFT.
But this is the M square. This is the M square in the large N limit.
Yeah, this is the Maldus.
So that's a different. That's better rooted than the other.
Yeah, but I mean, if we really were in the center space and L were much bigger than that, it doesn't mean that in our four-dimensional world there's lots and lots of massive species, does it? Or
well, this is ADS 5 versus 5, I suppose. So, well, what's the other? The right.
Yeah. We're not in four-dimensional, right? Many species.
No? Sorry.
It's true. In the four-dimensional dual, there are a lot of species, n squared species.
Yeah.
But that's in the boundary, right?
Yeah.
That's in the boundary. There's lots.
Yeah. So this black hole is operating in n squared species, and it has a lot of.
But I mean, if we're in the ball, and we don't see a lot. I mean, we don't. Well, maybe you'll see the only couple of gravity. But I mean, normally we don't say we see lots and lots of species.
But in the bulk, it's not Hawking radiation. In the bulk, it's some classical black string instability.
Right. But I mean, just an ordinary ADS CFT. An ordinary ADS CFT, if the ADS radius is very big in Planck units, I mean, our cosmology doesn't fit that. But I mean, could we in principle live in that world? And if we did, would that mean that there's a huge number of massless fields that we would see?
Not in the bulk, right?
Right. So if it's not the bulk, then why does it cause? It doesn't seem like, of course, you're just saying it's Hawking radiation in the bulk, but not in the 4D. In the 5D, it's Hawking radiation.
No, in the 4D, it's Hawking radiation. In the 5D, it's a classical process, which doesn't need a lot of.
Right, but does this imply that if we did live in ADS, that there would be very rapid Hawking radiation? Because
it's not Hawking radiation in ADS. It's Hawking radiation in the boundary theory, which is in flat space.
Now, what is confusing is that in the Randall syndrome, let's say, picture together with ADS CFT, you kind of mix the boundary and the bulk pictures, and that's what makes it confusing.
In particular, I think inside of ADS CFT, you would have a bulk black hole decaying by Hawking radiation, so this would be a quantum process, which would correspond to the quantum decay in CFT. And as you said, you'd mix them up here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not usually that the decay in the CFT corresponds to a classical. That's what's going on.
Right.
So in this calculation, you have number of species one the one that you just on.
This number.
What is it? This number.
This is a SUN, the n square. The square is
I meant that formula. Is that the same thing? M dot over m is number of species.
This one.
This is the same, yeah.
This is the ordinary, Hawking radiation time scale formula. And if you now, multiply this is actually in Planck. Yeah. And then you get this number, and this is L squared divided by R squared, R2. That is what we obtain in the next slide. Here. Same. So there is some work to try to find the numerical black holes solution numerical in the five dimensions, right? So this is just a classical thing, skip everything. But as a conclusion, it becomes more and more difficult to construct a very robust black hole static solution numerically for larger black holes. The size of the black hole becomes large. Then becomes very difficult. And the small black hole, as I said, it's a beyond the correspondence, so it's okay. So we can find it. And there is some work. But anyway. Okay, so let's assume that the following are all true. The classical black hole evaporation conjecture is correct. So maybe that there is no static large localized black hole solution, and the static small localized black hole solution exists. That is numerically found. Of course, there is some objection, but I trust that there is. This is a result of the numerical construction of black hole. So, small one exists. And another thing, so that's a bit abrupt statement, but the sequence of the solution does not disappear suddenly. So what does it mean? So, when we change the parameter of the model, like the tension of the brain, cosmological constant, if you change these parameters, and when we consider the sequence of solutions, okay, then this sequence of solutions will not disappear suddenly. Or when we consider the sequence solution and change the parameter like n, right,
Well, in the case of car, then there is a car parameter. You change these parameters, the solution will not terminate and suddenly at some point. So if the solution terminates, then that must be corresponding to some singularity or something. Okay. Then, assuming these three things, then what kind of scenario is possible? So here we consider a little bit generalized polymer. So far I was talking about Landau-Sundrum 2. Landau-Sundrum 2 means that there is only one brain, okay, and we are living on the positive tension brain. And but extend the discussion to a little bit wider class of models. So Landau-Sundrum 1. So in this case, there are two brains. And Patlandau model. That is the case with the detuned tension. So tension is not fine-tuned. And so even if the background geometry is considered, the background brain geometry is not Minkowski. It's a Bruzita or the ADS. And in this case, we consider the ADS brain case. And seek for the consistent phase diagram of sequence of static graph objects.
So I have a question about your assumption too.
I don't have much time.
So is this a statement about the bulk?
Uh-huh.
Is it a statement about the bulk, or do you still have a dual CFT coupled to gravity?
From here, I just consider just this five dimensional gravity theory.
Okay.
But sometimes the ADS CFT appears, but it's not. But anyway, so just consider the gravity theory. So unworked two brain model. So there are two brains, okay, and a five dimensional setup as before, but there is no bulk cosmological constant, a simple setup. In that case, the sequence of the black objects were known to some extent. Right? And there is some remark here. But so here, this axis is very ambiguous axis. This is a deformation degree. Of course, we can define it, but I do not want to give any precise definition of deformation degree. And this axis is very precise. This is mass. Okay. And so here, I fix the distance of these two brains. Okay. We can consider the Bragg string solution as before. So in that case, the Bragg string is uniform. This is not uniform, but uniform should be limited. So there is a heat sequence of solution here. So there is no deformation. Okay, but at some point, so when the size of the Bragg string becomes as small as the width or the distance of these two grains, then Gregory Laplace instability sets in. Right. Then another sequence of solution appears from this instability point. Okay. And that is a non-uniform Bragg string. So, this is not uniform anymore. So it's deformed, and the deformation becomes larger and larger as we proceed along this sequence. And at some point, this is connected to this localized Bragg hole. Okay. So this part is detached from the brain, and then it becomes localized. That's the scenario. And this becomes smaller and smaller, and it goes n equals zero. And of course, we can consider the higher mode of the Gregory Laplace instability. Okay. So in this case, there is no node of the perturbation at the beginning. Okay. So here, we can consider the second instability point. There, this deformation has a node in the wall. Okay? And if you proceed in this way, then if you put another brain here, then it's almost the same. It's just half size, the miniature of the first case. And so you can imagine that this corresponds to this configuration in this case. And then what we have is not localized Bragg hole, but floating one. Okay. So floating sequence appears. Of course, this is more unstable. This is also unstable, but this is more unstable. Okay, so there is no force which fix the position of the black hole here. And if you displace this position a little bit, and then there is a mirror image here. Okay, and so that this mirror image becomes closer, and so this black hole is attractive. And so in that sense, this floating black hole is completely unstable, right? And so we can introduce work by introducing this negative cosmological constant, and also the, we have to tune this brain tension. And then we have the two Minkowski brains with work, ADS work. And so in this setup, in the work case, okay, the stable, what they are saying, stable means is a bit unstable, stable point. It's a bit strange word. Anyway, the static point, I should say the stable point, static position. Is it okay? Minimum or maximum? So this is maximum. But so this static position of the floating black hole shifts towards the UV brain. UV is a positive tension brain. So the work is work in this way. So this side is bigger and this side is smaller, right? And so in that case, so if you put some point particle, test particle, then this test particle feeds repulsive force from the UV brain, the positive tension brain, and attractive force from the IR brain. Because of this working. Okay, and so you can, if you want, you can compute the acceleration in this way. Okay, so acceleration is universal, one by one. So independent of the position. So you don't have the stable point, static point. But as I said, there is a mirror image of this object. And so if you move, shift the position of this object towards the UV brain, then this mirror image gets closer, and so this mirror image on the IL side becomes farther, and so this attractive force becomes larger, and as a result, we may find some starting point. However, when the size of the black hole, becomes larger than L, then it becomes difficult. However, this mirror image is close, the attracting force cannot be infinitely large because of this size to the black hole. Okay. If it becomes very close, then they merge together, right? So large floating black holes become large localized black holes. If this and this mirror image merge together, then this becomes localized. It's not floating anymore. So what I'm saying is the PLZ pair emulation of two sequences of global black hole. Okay, so this is unworked case. Worked case. So the diagram was like this, but here is a sequence of the floating black hole. But once the work factor is introduced, then the size becomes large. Then it becomes localized. So what I expect is this. So there's some pinching occurs, and so this will be connected to this. Then this is consistent in the sense that this localized black hole sequence disappears at some value of n. So that when the size of the black hole becomes large, then we cannot find the black hole solution because this floating black hole is merged to the localized one.
I'm not sure what you mean by a phase diagram. I mean, you told me the floating black hole is unstable, right? In deformation degree, it's not like some conserved charge or temperature or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So I should just pick one of these configurations for every mass?
Okay, so this axis is very ambiguous. This axis is not so ambiguous.
Well, the question isn't whether it's ambiguous. The question is whether it corresponds to some parameter you can dial or just.
Yeah, for example, you can define this deformation. In the case of the black, uniform black string case, you can define this deformation degree by comparing the radius on this side and this side.
But for every set of asymptotic charges, for every set of charges, there should be a unique stable configuration, right? Is that correct?
But I don't know what is the corresponding charge. But maybe.
I don't think there is one. I think the masses are only.
There is some scale charge. So maybe. I should say scale charge. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I think there's a conserved charge that moves you along with that.
So we consider this two-frame model, and so the demand, so related to this distance, we can define some uniform charge. That's an asymptotic charge.
Related to this.
Yeah. So that should be defined for the defined solution.
I'm just not sure why you drew the floating black hole on there if it's unstable.
Uh-huh.
Is this a picture of the stable configuration for
okay. So we know that. So this part should be stable. Okay. Mm-hmm. And here the maximum m. So for fixed m, there are two solutions here and there. And so usually we think that the other one will be unstable. Yeah. So I draw in such a way. So this part will be stable.
I see.
Sorry, this what kind of instability are you talking about?
What?
I mean, from how do you get from a floating to a localized? You mean?
How? I don't know.
I mean, are you just saying that the black hole moves and it sticks to one of the brains?
Yeah. So on this side, we expect, this floating one becomes attached to the brain, and so this becomes a localized one. And so we know, so we have constructed this numerical solution for this localized one. But when we try to increase the size of the black hole, then it becomes harder and harder. And so I suspect that we are looking at this process. And at some point, the solution becomes unstable. Of course, this relaxation method to construct the static solution has nothing to do with the dynamical instability, but have some relation. So if there are some instability is a thing, then it becomes more difficult to find a solution. So I want to go a little bit further as long as I can go. So next I want to consider the between the frame tension, the partial angle. Okay, so the setup is the same, but this tension of the brain is different from the previous case. And the bottom configuration is the same as before. So this is the ADS, but the chart is different. So in this chart, this section, y equal constant section, is the ADS. You can draw this ADS metric in various ways. So this is one way. And so if you write the work factor in this coordinate, it behaves like this. Cosine hyperbolic, so it behaves like this. Okay. And so if you look at this part, then it's quite similar to the Randerson case. But so for that y, it's different. So the way of correlation is different. And so the brain, at the background, the brain is placed, is placed at a fixed y constant, this way. And so the, when the y is minus infinity, then so that's the Randerson limit. So there's an extrinsic curvature on the brain is that fine-tuned bar. So extrinsic curvature is equated with the tension of the brain, and that becomes this fine-tuned volume. But so if you move the location of the brain from finite distance from the zero, then this dependence appears. So if you reduce the tension of the brain, it moves towards zero. Okay, and in the limit. When the sigma goes to zero, the tension is vanishing. In that case, the brain is located here, middle. Okay. It's okay. It's too fast. And what factor? So interesting one is the one factor start to increase again for large y. Okay. And so this is not so important. Still more doesn't decrease. And so if you, you can draw the effective potential for the particle in the bulk, okay, this way, this is the y coordinate, and there is a bulk factor, so because of that, the potential, effective potential looks like this, okay, and so near the minimum, there is some stationary point, okay, floating position. And as before, so the, this particle will feel the, its own self-gravity on, from the mirror image, and so the, there is some another floating point. So there are two floating positions. So when delta sigma is delta sigma is the sigma minus 6 over L. This is a fine-tuned body. Okay? So delta sigma is very small. Okay? Stable black hole solution is very far. Ah, this is wrong. Please forget about this. This is some mistake. Okay. So the brain is here. Brain is here. And but so if the, this body is very small, so this is the Landau-Sundrom limit. In that case, this brain is very far, and the floating position is here, and so the, this floating position is very far from the brain. Okay. And when a sigma goes to zero, and so the brain is here, so there is no, you know, floating position anymore. Okay. And so this brain should be here. Okay. And so this is the distance. So when we consider the moderate case, the intermediate case, the brain is here, and the floating black hole is here. And if you increase the size of the black hole, then 5 minutes more, less, minus.
Three.
Minus four. This distance is finite, and so okay. So when you increase the size of the black hole, so the size of the black hole, then should be touched with the brain. It's impossible to consider very very large black hole float in the bulk. So large black holes necessarily touch the brain. Okay. So the expected phase diagram becomes like this. Okay. Again. This is very ambiguous coordinate, and so this is also, again, very ambiguous. This is the size of the black hole. So, yeah, but, of course, we can define. This is just the size, so it's not so ambiguous. This comes from the brain. This is very intuitive. And so, what I said is that, for small black hole, there is a localized one here, and this is connected to the floating sequence. But for small black hole, so this is a test part of the limit. For small black hole, we expect the two branches of the floating black holes. This one is really do this Landau-Sundrom limit, and this one is this one appears in the Fassbender case. Okay, and so this sequence. Will continue, but at some point it will hit. It will march to the non-floating, so the localized black holes. And but as I said, this sequence should not terminate at this point. So it should continue this way or that way. And I expect that this will go this way. If it goes this way, so the bigger size, then. Okay. Then. So maybe. Okay. So when you take the Landau-Sundrom limit, then the distance becomes larger and larger. So this line will go this way, and in the end, in the Landau-Sundrom limit, this sequence disappears. And I don't have time. So, but this. Correspond to this Hawking phase transition, and I have many slides, but I have to stop here. But this situation is can be understood in CFTs, CFT language. So when we consider CFT, usually I want to say a little bit more. Usually, so when we taking into account the Hawking radiation, it's impossible to have such black hole solutions. But in ADS, it's possible, right? Because so in ADS, the temperature let's shift in this way, and but because of the background curvature, the far distance, zero increases, the temperature drops rapidly, and so the total mass doesn't diverge, it's finite. And so, even if you take into account the back reaction, you can construct the black hole solution. But when the size of the black hole is small, the temperature is so high, and so you cannot construct a consistent solution. But when the size becomes large, this, then you can construct. There are many things, but I will see. Thank you very much.
Do you think there might be something like that black string solution in this ADS case?
Sorry, what?
You started with this black string solution.
Uh-huh.
Do you think in the case with the ADS brain, there might be something like that?
Yes, there is something like that. So in that case, it's extended to, again, it's extend to the infinity. And but the size of the black hole is large, then it's completely irregular, and so there is no singularity at all. But the asymptotic, a boundary condition is different. I think that is different from what I'm considering now.
World, is there any limits on the size of this, the length scale L for the bulk space-time, or?
Sorry.
Are there any observational limits on the length scale L?
Yeah.
If we were living in a Randall-Sundrum tube.
Yes, there is. Observational limit, there is. So I estimated this, the time scale of the evaporation is 100 years for 1 millimeter and one small mass black hole. And so there is some observation and some about the X-ray binary, this one. And so this is a binary of the black hole with K-star, the main sequence star. And so we can make model of accretion. And so. And from the model tells that it's impossible to increase or decrease. I don't remember. But so it's impossible to change the orbital period by due to this accretion. But from the observational constraint, so if the black hole is evaporating, the mass decreases, and as a result, the binding energy is low, and so the separation of the binary becomes larger, and as a result, the period, all the period should decrease. Okay. But from the model, it shouldn't decrease. So so there is argument coming from the model. But if you address this argument, then we can put the constraint. And that is as small as the experiment in the laboratory, 1 millimeter.
Okay. So if it was, so if it's smaller than that, then even though there's lots of species that get evaporated, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be noticeable.
But the constraint from the neutron star was smaller than that.
Constraint from the neutron star. How can we put the constraint?
Neutron
star don't evaporate, but
neutron slot.
Neutron roll. It's a.
Similar size.
The usual one, it was experiment. Yes.
50 microns?
A little bit tighter, maybe, yes.
Yeah.
But comparable.
Okay, let's go for coffee and we'll start again at 10:35. Thanks, everyone.